Hey everybody, this is Ed Roman, and you're listening to Lou Ludini's Rock and Roll Circus.
Today on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, we are bringing back actually one of our old standbys. He's practically a regular here on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, and that is Ed Roman. Ed's always an interesting guest. Looking forward to talking to him, so stick around.
You're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Our website is LudiniRockandRollCircus.com. Please check back often because there's all kind of great podcasts up there, including my newly introduced daily podcast, The Rock and Rant. So tune in for that. We are building that up. It's a lot of fun. We go live every Tuesday night on Rock Rage Radio Live on Facebook. And feel free to join us there. That's a cool thing. You get to voice your opinion. We pick an interesting topic, play a lot of great indie bands, and it's a lot of fun with my co-hosts, Lily V6 and Keith the Hawk Hawkins. What else is there? Oh, of course, there's tons of interviews like the one you're about to hear right now and all kind of goodies there at LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. And we'll tell you more about that at the end of today's show. As I was mentioning at the top there, we have Ed Roman back with us. We haven't talked to Ed. I don't know. We get Ed on maybe once a year or so, but it's great to have him back. And he's always up to something. So, Ed, welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. How you doing?
Lou, I'm great. How are you? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just ducky. Just sounds sweet.
Like quack.
Why don't you tell everybody before we, for those newbies out there, why don't you give everybody maybe like the Reader's Digest version of your journey? Do so many things. So let's see if you can kind of condense it down to like a paragraph or so.
Like we say, it's like the Coles Notes version up here in Canada.
Okay.
The Reader's Digest version. Well, I've been playing music for a long time, like you, Lou, an enthusiast since I was a kid. I was a teacher of music for almost 25 years. But I've been writing and playing in bands as a side man, as the lead man in different projects. And in the last 5 to 10 years, I've basically stepped out on my own as an independent and as a singer-songwriter, working with Michael Stover at MTS Management, who's been a tremendous help in not only my career, but a number of people. And my music has been getting out there, and it's on, you know, many terrestrial radio stations and 600 stations worldwide. And the last two albums that Michael and I have been pushing and has got us a lot of headway most recently, which is really cool, is the project I've been working on for a couple of years, and it's already been released a couple of years ago, is an album called Red Omen. But you know how it works in the entertainment business, Lou. You have an idea, and sometimes it takes years for it not to be seen through, but just to make it all click and work for the right reason. So most recently, I've worked with famed animator Nelson Diaz in New York City, and we've created an amazing animated short for the title track of that album, Red Omen. And what's interesting about how all this kind of works and how I think art kind of works in general is that you never know what kind of little crack in what door, window, or floorboard is going to open up. Right. And sometimes there's a bit of light that shines through. And I'm a dyslexic, and I was kind of labeled that. But really, as I've gotten older and listened to a lot of really influential people talk about it, I realize it's a gift. And I've reached out to the Dyslexia Society in the United States and Canada, and a Positive Dyslexia with Sue Hall here in Canada. We are about to embark through this video through a fundraising campaign to raise money for kids' tutoring programs. So, you know, I've always felt music has the ability to help, heal, connect people, bring ideas, messages, philosophy, anything that you can possibly think of. So where I am right now is headed to New York for May, I'm going to be writing and working on a new project there, as well as doing a whole bunch of gigs. And at the same time, I'm going to be at Lise de Val Sound Recordings doing these really interesting one-off recordings that go direct to vinyl. So I'm recording, it gets scratched right to the vinyl disc, and that's it. There's only one copy of that. So I'm hoping that Ed Heads, you know, pay attention to what's going on, maybe check that out. Maybe they want that for their vinyl archives or something. But like you, Lou, I'm and many people, we're doing many things. I just finished doing a commercial thing and licensing thing for a cut on my sitar of Happy Together by the Turtles for, like some kind of Indian chip commercial or something. So, you know, you never know, right? You never know. But I'm just happy to be working and excited to be doing what I'm doing.
Now, I was looking at your interview on the onsongwriting.com, which is fairly recent. You just did that pretty recently. And, you know, we all occasionally, well, this is going to sound like a Pepto-Bismol commercial, but we all occasionally get blocked, you know, where things are just like, so, and it's, so you said that sometimes you like to get away. What do you do to say, oh, you know what? It's just like, because I think what happens in our brains, like, it's like music, like a musical traffic jam in there. We can't get anything out, so we have to unplug and do something else. So what are some of the things you do to kind of like, get away so it gets refreshed and you can get back to it?
Well, I mean, complete detachment sometimes, which means for me, like, I love gardening. I love growing food. In Canada right now, it's not too easy to grow food with, you know, 2 feet of snow on the ground and it being as cold as it is. But a lot of the time, I do that. I grow a tremendous amount of food. In fact, too much. But I share a lot, sell a lot. We preserve a lot of food. And I like that kind of hands-on connection like music has for me. When I pick up my bass or my guitar or get behind a drum kit, it has that same, my hands are being used, my body's being used, my mind is being used, I'm paying attention, I'm listening. All of those things still keep that mechanism of what music is for me alive, but it's not in that, like you say, Pepto-Bismol, I'm stopped up, well, how do I get rid of this? The other thing is like to completely immerse myself in tunes I just love, from that I fell in love with when I was five till that I love today. And Carlos Santana said some interesting things once that I really like to think about sometimes. He said he would cast. He calls it casting. So he'd go up to his studio, like you. I love watching you do your shows. You're playing all these riffs. And you're working on like just licks or things or tunes that you got turned on by. It might not even be the whole tune, but it's just something that really invigorates you. And after this sort of casting moment, getting rid of this stuff and really loving it and the inertia behind it, you kind of stop thinking about your own tidal wave of what am I doing with this? And all of a sudden, you sort of relinquish the moment to like, who cares? Let things just sort of flow again and not worry about it so much. And sometimes art and artisans and some, you know, we can be analytical to the point where it's like, we're still working on the track 3 years later. And I think that it's healthy to let things go. We're always going to be defined by those moments in time in our recordings and what we create, but it's healthy, you know, to look back and keep moving forward. But if I never negate even the same ideas that are coming to me to run through them, because I know emotionally I may approach it a different way every day. Hmm. So that's also a key for me. I'm a bit of an inventor. Okay. I like playing with magnets and chemistry equipment. And it's just all, again, hands-on mechanical things that get you thinking differently. That's what it is. Get myself out of it. You know, sometimes I'll just go for a walk to the bush. It's as simple as that, just to, like, suck in nature. And it doesn't, you know, change my perspective of, oh, I'm not working on that tune. You know, we get so critical about like, it's not done. What, da, 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 more, you know, like Lou Reed once said, like, if you're not creating like 10 tunes a day, then forget about it. But I think the quality and quantity is two different things, because art is based on the emotional equivalency to your reaction to something. And for me, sometimes that comes quickly, and you know that feeling. And other times it's like, wait a minute, I have to debate this in my conscience for a while to figure out how I want to, you know, feel about this, right, and how, what I want to say. So,
and sometimes, and sometimes by not thinking of it at all, it's the subconscious part of you is in working on it. So when you come back to it, all of a sudden there's answers and solutions, because there's an aspect of songwriting that's problem solving. You know, you've got this idea, you got that idea, how to put these ideas together, should this go here, would I, you know, and sometimes just getting, when you get away from it, you're, even though you think you're not working on it, while you're gardening or whatever else it is that you're doing, inventing, you know, the mind is like, okay, we're working on this in the background. So when you come back to it, you know, all of a sudden there's some answers there and some ideas there that weren't there before. I wanted to ask you, because I know that you are a very accomplished bass guitar player. Any new basses?
Oh, you know what? I want to retrofit the 68 Jazz. It's actually the Marcus Miller reissue that they did for the anniversary.
Okay.
And I just love the active hardware in it, and I love the body. But when I bought it, it has a maple neck and a maple fretboard, and I always love rosewood fretboards.
Okay.
I've gotten used to it. But when I go pick up my older jazz bass that has a rosewood fretboard, which is really a Franken bass because there's nothing original in it. Potentiometers, pickups, machine heads, everything has been like swapped out for other stuff. And I guess if I go for the new instrument, what I really want is to contact Fender directly. I'm a Fender guy. I mean, it's like practically tattooed on my soul.
Okay.
And plain body, no finish, alder wood. Again, maple neck, rosewood fretboard, badass bridge, and those mechanics that are in that anniversary edition, because it kind of has the best of both worlds. You got the passive side of the instrument, you can sweep it back, and then you've got all this other great expressive, clear, crystalline, electrified version of what the bass can offer, and it's great for slapping and popping, and if you just want to be heard in a completely different way. So I love the versatility of the instrument, but you know, that's the thing about instruments. You get excited about something that maybe sometimes you try something for years. Dude, I so badly wanted to get a Rickenbacker, Geddy Lee, well, Chris Squire,
yeah,
you know, like, and then I played one and I was like, it wasn't for me.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Yeah. And I've done. And
I love them though, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, speaking of Geddy Lee, did you get Geddy Lee's book?
I haven't yet. I haven't yet, but I'm excited to do that, and I'm actually excited to see what comes from their time away. And I mean, nobody's to say that, you know, 10 or 15 years from now something might happen. And sometimes that's like, people say, well, that's critical mass, and then they all go start doing different things, and it's not the same. And because, you know, everybody falls in love with that original potion,
right,
that the band has. And I've seen that happen with Trey Anastasio from Fish, with what was it called, Mushroom Head, that mm-hmm. he did with Les Claypool and Stuart Copeland, stuff like that happened with other projects. But again, you know, I love Geddy, and he turned me on as a young player to so many other players. Like other in musicians, I loved hearing them talk about people they got excited about, and what made them excited about certain stuff. And Geddy's one of those people. He has a wonderful sense of nostalgia. And the last bunch of movies that came out, they were about them. I've got them. I had to. I mean, I've got every album. I cut a Rush track on one of my previous albums. I've hung out and had, you know, food with Alex, and he's watched me play. And I love that band, not only for their music, but kind of what they represent in the music community up here.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take a break and listen to Ed Roman track. How do you feel about Red Omen right now? You want to crank that up?
Yeah, man, because that's where I'm headed, and I'm really excited about the video coming out, so that's a pleasure, Lou. Thank you.
Here we go. Guys, check it out. Red Omen by Ed Roman on the Lou Dini Rock and Roll Circus.
Thank you. tell you that I grew up with Red Omen, and boy was he a neat kid. He had all sorts of really cool things to play with, like a plutonium spaceship lunchbox and a bathtub full of Lego. And I didn't believe you when somebody said that he fled with Jimi Hendrix to a UFO type base camp up on Machu Picchu. Up on Machu Picchu. I said, excuse me, it's not my fault. He's playing the crime so he can't get caught. I said, excuse me, I must confess. Well, give me two words. Well, in my defense, laughing mad. I'm laughing mad. Laughing mad. There's a red hot stove down in Pittsburgh going out hard like a cherry pie. Call me a fibber, call me a liar, say it to my face like a cross between Benjamin Franklin and Ian Pace. And I didn't believe the man from MI6 living out in the sticks who souped up his side by side like Evel Knievel. Just like Evel Knievel. Said, excuse me, it's not my fault. He's playing the crime so he can't get caught. I said, excuse me, I must confess. Well, give me two words. Well, in my defense, laughing mad. I'm laughing mad. I'm laughing mad. Laughing mad. For me today, you see, my nerves are shattered, tired, tattered, beginning to fray. Just like Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz, realizing only now you're caught in someone else's claws. And I didn't believe in myself if no one else to be making voodoo music in some small town way up in Canada. Way up in Canada. I said, excuse me. It's not my fault. He's playing the crime so he can't get caught. I said, excuse me, I must confess. Well, give me two words. Well, in my defense, laughing mad. Well, I'm laughing mad. Well, I'm laughing mad. Laughing mad. Tell you that I grew up with Red Omen. Boy, was he a neat kid.
Red Omen, Ed Roman on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. What is that line? A cross between Benjamin Franklin and Ian Pace? Is that what you said?
Yeah, you know who that is?
I know
that
who Ian Pace is.
I know, but you know who that cross is? The cross between the two, who the Red Hot Stove.
You're talking about Michael Stover.
Yeah, baby. He is a drummer extraordinaire and a great drummer. And coincidentally, through this the cosmos of everything, he's figured out that generationally he's somehow related to Benjamin Franklin.
Ah, did not know that.
And neither did I when I wrote the lyric. So that's what I find interesting about writing.
Wow. Stuff that's just, so you're kind of a spiritual guy. So why don't you, you have some interest. Did I read somewhere you're like some sort of dabbling in paranormal studies or something like that? Or did I misunderstand that? What are you doing up there? Are you in Canada? What's going on? You guys like just what, flagging down UFOs? What was happening?
Kind of, you know, I've had this sort of allegory running through my life since I can remember. And my family has a story of a mass sighting, and it was verified by a local airport and an observatory in the area back in the late 60s. stories from my grandmother about her brother being born with all of his hair and teeth and could already speak and predicted the day he would die at the age of 11.
Wow.
A good friend of mine that passed away that left a breadcrumb trail of spiritual activity that was almost so difficult to ignore and to discount as coincidence, along with relative issues. And this is what I find interesting about the paranormal world, is that I'm a skeptic in many ways. And what I like to do is go through these research projects about certain events and situations that have occurred, and even in my own life. And what I like to use as a sort of guide or sort of blueprint for investigation is no different than what police do. One of the favorite guys I love that does research on backgrounds for spiritual medium in the United States, Amy Allen, is Steve DeShavi. He's an ex-cop from New York City, homicide investigator. And he runs parallel physical sort of investigations on certain sites and locations that people are having an incredible amount of paranormal activity with. And there's a lot of things in the quote-unquote reveal that show themselves as impossibilities. Hmm. And I see those impossibilities, especially like in a police investigation, they'll say, well, those two coincidences to an officer is a lead. When I see multiple coincidences occurring in a situation, I see it as a sign. So for me, that's where I say a good healthy dose of skepticism always is good to bring into those situations. And then I erase the rest because they don't have that validity for me. And the others I keep pursuing. And those same things occur to me in natural circumstances, especially if I'm quiet, I listen and I pay attention, or I put myself in those circumstances. I was gardening one day. I was crouching down, pulling weeds, and I heard this unbelievable humming, like buzzing. And out of the backfield, behind my back, came this cloud of bees that was following a queen up to a tree because she was going to make a new nest. And I started to weep because I thought to myself, had I not been here at this moment working in my garden, I wouldn't have witnessed such a beautiful event. And it has that same impact, those spiritual moments, where it's like, I can't believe that I was here to witness this. And some people go, well, you're anthropomorphizing things and psychology, and you know, the subconscious is always doing these kinds of things. I say, horse pucky. I say there's too much here that lends itself in coincidence to say it's just artificial. You're making it up, Ed. So yeah, and music has that subtlety to it, to me. Especially if you listen and to yourself and the world and things that are going on. And then there are these weird and crazy, beautiful links that start to connect. And you go, what just happened? I love this. I want to tell you about it.
So you mentioned at the top of the show, going and you're going to cut some direct to vinyl stuff. Are these new tracks that are going to be part of something new, or are we working on some older stuff, or what's the direct to vinyl thing about?
Good question, Lou. It's both. It's a little old, new, and I like that. Mike and I were discussing this about what should we cut? Cause there's like one-offs, one of a kind. There's no other version of it. So we're doing some older tracks, some of the tunes that a lot of people liked in the last couple records. And then tunes for a new project that I'm working on called A Recipe for Perpetual Spring that is nobody's heard. Glimmets and pieces of maybe some things here and there, but that's kind of what is neat for, I guess, the buyer or viewer.
I gotcha. And so after this, so what does the next rest of the year look like for you? Wasn't like 6 to 12, other than cutting these vinyl things, what else you have coming up?
Well, I'm excited. I'm going to be releasing a whole bunch of vignettes and videos and singles after I get back from New York. As I mentioned, I'm going to finish up a bunch of writing. But I've gotten 90% of the album, 14 tunes, kind of already in the bag. And I'm putting things together. And there's, you know, with recording certain things, I want certain people on these tracks. And it's just not the right timing yet. Hmm. But certain things I'm ready to release. So over the next 6 to 8 months, after the Red Omen video is released and we go through this public and corporate fundraising campaign, which will also be taking up a considerable amount of my time, that's all coinciding with all of that. So philanthropic art world, here I come.
Here we come. All right. Ed Roman. Ed, thank you so much for taking some time to catch up. It's been a while since we talked to you, and always a pleasure, my friend.
Hey, you too, and I love your show, Lou, and if I get down there in your neck of the woods, I'd love to come on. Maybe we could, like, jam, because you got this wild bat cave look to your setup, and I'm just like, Lou, it just looks so cool, dude. It looks really good.
Well, I'm totally up for it, so let me know when you might be in the neighborhood. We'll do something for sure. I'm going to wrap up the show. Can you hang out for a minute while because I need to do a little business with you when we're done. You got it?
Plan.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Hey, guys, Ed Roman, and just a great guy, great stories, great music, and the website is edroman.net. And then, of course, you can know there's a jumping off to all the Twitter and the Facebook and all that jazz is out there as well. Edroman.net is the website. Latest album is Red Omen. It's just a total joy to listen to from front to back. You guys will absolutely love it. And so check that all out at edroman.net. Guys, you've been listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Please check our website, Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Please check that often, because there's tons of cool stuff happening all the time. As well as, if you would like to get some behind the scenes stuff, you heard Ed kind of intimating about some of the other things I do. He pops on once in a while on Facebook and sees me doing things. You can get some exclusive video, exclusive music. There's free downloads, all kind of cool stuff. If you go to LouLombardiMusic.com/innercircle, that is LouLombardiMusic.com/innercircle, and just go ahead and climb into that, and you get all kind of cool stuff. So check it out. Guys, it's been a great show. Ed Roman, thanks for being here, and we'll catch you guys all on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.